3, 2. Exactly. Technical.
Okay, quiet, understood. Lights, camera, action.
Tonight we're going to cover two subjects. The first one is fueling the body, then the second one is fueling the soul. Ordinarily, which meal should be your heartiest and best meal of the day? Breakfast. And the word breakfast means break fast. You fasted for ideally over 12 hours, and now you're ready to break that fast with a breakfast. And that should be a significant meal. It really doesn't have to be the largest meal of the day, but it should be more like the larger meal of the day. And oftentimes, it's the smallest meal of the day. You know, people who eat both a breakfast and a supper, usually the supper has 400 more calories than the breakfast. Why might that be? Why would the supper meal have 400 more than the breakfast? Not just because it's small, but there's more fat, there's more gravy, there's more butter. There's more rich foods they usually eat in the evening as opposed to the grains and milk that they would eat in the morning. And you know, most overweight people tend to skip breakfast. And when we run a weight control program, the first thing we do is give them a breakfast. We package it all up, we tell them to take it home, and in the morning they're to eat this food. And they think that we're going to take food away from them, and they're so delighted when we actually give food to them and tell them to eat the whole thing. But then, of course, we tell them to eat nothing else for the rest of the day. Come back the next night, and they really can do it. They are so surprised. But their most surprise is that they did not die from not eating a lunch or a supper, and they're still alive because they're so afraid of hunger that they're just afraid to go without eating. Well, then those breakfast skippers, they try to make up for it in mid-morning, and what kind of food do they usually eat? Junk food. Yeah, donuts and pastries. And even when they talk about healthy snacks, snacks are not really healthy just because of the time they are eaten. And usually those kind of snacks never make up for the minerals and the vitamins that they miss by not eating breakfast, because a good breakfast is loaded with vitamins and minerals. And vitamin pills don't make up. Like we already covered here in our previous session, eat the vitamins and minerals in the food with all the antioxidants, with all of the phytochemicals, the bioflavonoids, etc. And pills don't provide the fiber that a good breakfast does. Two studies, you can read in the material what those studies are like, but two studies show that calories eaten in the morning, now get this point, calories eaten in the morning put on fewer pounds than the same calories eaten at night. Mm-hmm. And they've done that with free-ranging 2,000 individuals, controlling what they eat. And the calories eaten in the morning puts on less weight. Calories eaten at night puts on more weight. Why? Yeah, you work it off during the day. But at night, you come home, you eat, and you usually sit. Now, the most active men are still busy after they eat supper. They'll go out in the garage, they're working and so on. But the guys who are sitting at a desk all day long, they're exhausted. They come home and eat supper, and they go in and sit down, because their bodies are not energized by all the hard work that they do during the day. So that's why we say eat a significant breakfast, and if anything, skip supper. And one lady stood up during one of our sessions, and she says, Doctor, because she was addressing Dr. Scharfenberg, Doctor, I haven't eaten breakfast for 17 years because I just don't feel like eating. How can I eat breakfast? And he said, just skip supper and breakfast will take care of itself. And it usually does. Supper should be the lightest meal of the day, and if necessary, skip it. The other two meals are the most important ones. After you have been in bed for a whole night, not only your brain, which remember, that's where the nerve force comes that drives the stomach, but the stomach muscle itself and the digestive juices are well supplied. Now, when we speak of juices, we're primarily speaking of the enzymes. The juices just come through to flush the enzymes into the stomach where the digestion takes place. It's better prepared, the body's better prepared to receive food in the morning than it is at night. At night, sometimes you'll get, it takes more energy out of you than you get from the food because your body's already tired and it takes energy to digest that food, and the food is not all used for energy because you're sitting, and so it actually takes more out of you than it gives back, but not so for breakfast. In a lecture that to sophomore medical students, Dr. Chittick, head of the pediatric department here at Loma Linda University, used to observe and tell his students that most children will eat two meals a day and pick at the third one, whichever one it happens to be. And most of them would get by fine on two meals a day, just as most adults will. You recently had your triglycerides and your cholesterol taken. Calories taken in the evening tend to elevate serum cholesterol and triglycerides more than the same calories taken at night. There's a lot of evidence out there for breakfast. Krell and Hodges, which are famous authors in the area of nutrition, they said, most of the subjects who participated in these studies changed in their dietary habits considerably. That is just as a result of being in the test. Some of them customarily ate little, if any, breakfast, a relatively small lunch and a large evening meal. The meals which we served nearly equal in size initially, the readjustment to feeding patterns was reflected by a noticeable decrease in serum lipids in several subjects. And that was reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition way back in 1965. It's been well established. If you want blood lipid, which means to do fats control, it's better to have a big breakfast, a good lunch, and a little supper. Now, you sometimes hear the phrase, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and supper like a pauper. Well, that's true. However, in reality, most of the time, you will eat a larger lunch than you will breakfast. Don't try to load up too much for breakfast. And if you recall the Bellick and Breslow study that we presented here the very first night, where they studied the 7,000 adults in Alameda County, California, those men who rarely ate breakfast had a 40% higher death rate as compared to those who usually ate breakfast. That's a significant number. And women, it was a 28% higher death rate in those who were breakfast skippers as compared to those who were breakfast eaters. Now, Dr. Breslow was the senior author of that research. And he had observed for many years that breakfast was an important meal. And it probably contributed not only to good health, but longevity. But he could never get any of the researchers to study it. He had to wait until he was old enough to become the senior researchers that he could plug that into his experiment. And then he vindicated the value of eating breakfast from longevity as well as how well you felt. Now, the Iowa breakfast studies are famous studies, been quoted for years and years, especially in the schools, because children who skip breakfast became behavior problems in the classroom. Their manual dexterity was not as good in coloring, in writing, or in cutting out. They could not handle it as well as those who ate a good breakfast. Their ability to concentrate on what they were studying became a problem. And the teachers much preferred to teach the students who ate breakfast than the students who didn't eat breakfast. And even if they fed them a meal after they came to school, it was still not as good as if they had eaten a good solid meal at home. I've talked to educators who said, these kids are just no good until we get some food in them. And so that's why several schools started feeding breakfast to the children. And when I lived in Loma Linda, our daughter was on two meals a day. She was in about the third grade. And she would eat her breakfast with us. And I went to the school because they had their lunch around 12 o'clock. And I says, is there a possibility of moving it maybe to 12:30 instead of 12 o'clock to accommodate those that are eating two meals a day? And he said, oh, I wish you to come early. Just last week, our board voted to move breakfast back, or to move lunch back to 11:30. Because the kids are no good until we get some food in them. So they moved up the lunch. I said, that's not fair. That's rewarding the wicked and punishing the righteous. So instead, our daughter would wait all the way until 3 o'clock when she got home after school, and then sit down and have a really nice meal. She didn't mind after the first day or two of missing a lunch. Always, whenever she went to school, to a brand new school, she said, Daddy, don't you think I need a lunch? And I said, sure. And we fixed her a lunch. And as soon as she got acquainted with all the kids, then she said, Daddy, I don't want lunch anymore. And she would wait until, it was just, she wanted to be comfortable with the other friends, you see, because it's a little different to eat differently in our world. In some of the research, they showed that skipping breakfast delayed your reaction time as much as drinking two beers. Yes. So when you see a red light, it takes that much longer to put your foot on the brake. Now, most people don't realize this. They're just used to doing it, and whatever time it takes that much. And I don't know if you've ever seen the film in which they took drivers, and they had a course in which they were to run through the pylons and back up and park and so on in the pylons. And they would do the course sober. Then they would feed them a drink. And then they would give them two drinks. And by the time they were at three drinks, they were knocking over pylons all the time, but they thought they were driving better than when they would drove sober. I thought that's fascinating. They thought they were doing better, and they weren't. Same is true with breakfast skippers on the highway. They think they're driving just fine, but they're not driving as well as if their brain was well nourished. Because your body needs food, your brain needs food from the morning breakfast. Now, you can get along without it. You can go 24 hours or 36 hours without eating anything. But you're depleting the glycogen stores in the liver. You're running the risk of low blood glucose to the brain. And there'll be times then when sometimes you'll have headaches. There will be faintness, this all gone feeling. Some people get chills and weakness just before slightly fainting. There'll be sleepiness, a great sense of loss of energy, especially if you're not used to doing it. And accidents in factories are at a higher rate between the hours of 10 and 11 than any other time of the day. Because at that point, the blood sugar is going down. And at that point, oftentimes they'll go have a coffee break. And once they have the coffee, their nerves are that much worse. And they've tested this with typists. And the typist will make more mistakes after the coffee break than before. And the breakfast skippers will also not do as well as the breakfast eaters. Am I getting through with my point? Yeah, and they also discovered children had poor attitude. Now, what does it take to have a good breakfast? Usually they measure it in terms of protein. You need at least 15 grams of protein. What does it take to have 15 grams of protein? Well, one bowl of cooked oatmeal. One will give you, well, I'll just put it all together, and one piece of toast. Let's make it whole grain toast, as long as we're doing it. And one glass of orange juice will give you 15 grams of protein, or with a little milk on the cereal. Soy milk or cow's milk, either one. Now, there's no protein in the orange juice. You get it from the oatmeal and the toast. So how many of you probably eat more than that for breakfast? Did you hear my question? How many of you eat less than that for breakfast? How many eat more than that for breakfast? A few. I hope so. I hope it's not white rice. I think if you're...
Put some nuts there.
Well, yes, if you're going to eat an ideal breakfast, oh, man, I'll have a whole bowl of cooked oatmeal and then two pieces of toast with almond butter and maybe some jam, and of course a lot of fruit. There's not much protein in the fruit. And maybe some soy milk on the oatmeal. You don't need it if you cooked oatmeal. You don't need the soy milk, but it's nice out of habit if you want to put some on there. Who skips breakfast the most? Teenagers. The average teenager in America has 43 minutes from the time he gets up until he is sitting in the classroom. Can you believe that? That's all been measured. Now, that's on average. Some take longer depending on the commute. I know someone who's up in 15 minutes out of bed and at the school. 15 minutes. Doesn't have time to brush his teeth. Just run his fingers through his hair and run. And if mom and dad stay up late watching TV, guess who fixes breakfast, if any breakfast at all? The children do. And that's usually a Pop-Tart and a can of pop. And women tend to skip breakfast more than men. And city people tend to skip breakfast more than country people. So how do you get your family to eat breakfast? Those of you who aren't married yet, you and your wife or you and your family, how are you going to be able to get them to eat breakfast? Two or three ways. One is to exercise in the evening and then don't eat or eat an extremely light breakfast. And that actually creates an appetite. Extremely light supper. When I say extremely light supper, a piece of toast and a piece of fruit. You don't really need anything. It's mostly psychological in most cases. But if you want a little something, do that. And you'll be hungrier in the morning for breakfast. Or eat a very light meal of fruit and toast, something easy to digest. Vary the menu for breakfast. Don't have the same breakfast every day. One day it's granola, the next day it's waffles, the next day it's oatmeal patties, next day it's Monado. the next day, and so on. And so it doesn't become boring. I never get tired of my wife's granola. With bananas and raisins on it, I can eat it day after day. That's what I had to do in Vietnam. She would send me my granola to Vietnam in large cans, and I would have my breakfast in my hooch and have lunch at the officer's mess. And then make it a social occasion. We have sometimes had candlelight breakfast. Most people think of a romantic candlelight supper. Well, why not light some candles, especially in the wintertime when it's dark outside, and set the atmosphere and everybody comes and sits down and has breakfast together. That's nice. You get up early enough so that it's not rush, rush, rush. Early enough that you saunter in for breakfast and sit down and enjoy family time and devotions to follow and that really bonds the family. People have forgotten how many years ago on the farm, you were up at least 2 hours early, milking cows and doing everything, and then everybody comes in for breakfast, and then you go out to the farm again, or in some cases, you go off to school. Breakfast is a time to eat together, talk together, pray together, just enjoy each other. Now, cooked cereals are usually better than dry cereals, if they're cooked plenty a long time. With some cereals, you need to cook them overnight. Put them in a little cooker. They gently cook all night long so that they're completely ready for breakfast in the morning. Oats are some of the best. They have a high level of protein. They've got good fat, good carbohydrate, good fiber. Horses can work all day on good oats. And it's usually better than corn because most of the corn that you get is degerminated. So mostly all you're getting is a little starch and fiber. If you puff the stuff, you knock the vitamins out. And then if you sugarcoat the puff stuff, be sure you eat the box so you get some nutrition out of it. That's just a rule of thumb. Put lots of fruit, raisins, bananas on top of your cereal. But you can eat some dry cereal sometimes too. In other words, have variety in it. How many of you own a waffle iron? Do you really? Today, most people don't. I have the most wonderful waffle iron. Took us years to develop it, but I'll put it against any kind of waffle you can buy in the market. But we don't give it out anymore because Very few people have waffle irons. Do you ever use it? Too sticky. This won't stick. but I'll be happy to share the waffle recipe with you, and you can make waffles, and then if you got more than you need, you simply put them in the freezer and drop them in the toaster, or put the whole thing in the waffle iron, heat it up again, and have it more than one morning. There are lots of ways to use it. I won't tell you how we started out, but a long time ago we started out, and it wasn't so successful, but I kept working at it and finally had some really good waffles. Now, when we talk about having your largest meal for breakfast or a very large meal, some people immediately think of dinner meal. So that's the time they think they have to have meat and potatoes and broccoli. And some people like a savory breakfast. I don't particularly care for it. I'll eat it. I want a breakfast, which is the grains and fruits. And sometimes beans. But do whatever you find works best for you. But by all means, make a sizable breakfast. Get up early enough to get in your devotions, get in your exercise, and get in your your breakfast. You recall that God gave the manna in the morning, and the people went out to gather the manna. That was a sample to us. They worked up an appetite. They came in, fixed it up for their breakfast. And by rising early, they got their exercise. They had to get up and they had to get it, remember, before the sun melted it. And that was all a good example to us. Can't improve on God's program. And the more we learn about our bodies and our emotions and how our minds work, the more we realize that we need a good breakfast. Any questions on what we've covered? You will have in your handout, you will have sample recipes for breakfast and some more breakfast suggestions. Hopefully, you don't need it because you're already eating breakfast. But if you have ever been tempted to start skipping your breakfast, I hope you'll remember some of the things we talked about tonight and or read it in your outline that you'll get. You'll live longer, you'll feel better, you'll perform better, both for your employer, for yourself, and for God and the family. Any questions on breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah.
You cited breakfast like oatmeal, cereal, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a rice eater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can make brown rice. Now, I like brown rice with a little sweetening and raisins and cinnamon rather than the savory. I like my sweet in the morning. But you can have, this was just one example to show you, it doesn't take much to get 15 grams of protein. That's all that was up there for. You can build your breakfast however you want. Preferably brown rice, broccoli, whatever you want on it. Yeah, all that oxidized cholesterol. Yeah, scrambled tofu. Yeah. We have tofu, probably scrambled tofu, 3 to 4 times a week in the morning. Yeah. Yep. Yes.
What's the best time to eat breakfast?
Within 2 hours after you get up.
Within.
It depends a lot on what you're doing during those 2 hours. Because remember, you haven't eaten for 12 hours, which is fine. Don't let that scare you. You can go for many hours without eating. But if you're out there with a hard workout, if you're in a real hard workout, you need protein immediately after eating, after workout. And when I talk about workout, I'm talking about like marathon training, real hard weightlifting. You need protein immediately, rather than a slug of orange juice. You think you need energy, so you drink a sugar drink. No. You need the protein at that time. You should have been drinking the sugar drink while you were exercising. Now, not if you're just out there for 30 minutes. You don't need any sugar drink, and you should not take a sugar drink before you go. You only need that after at least 30 minutes of hard exercise. And that's if you're going to continue exercising. So for the average person, you get up, drink your hot water, have your devotions of at least a half an hour, go out walking for a half an hour, or running for a half an hour, come back, clean up, and then you're ready for breakfast. And that's the ideal. Not everybody's schedule can do that. Some people have to be at work at 4 o'clock. And so you're going to have to get your exercise in the evening. And people who work at night, when should they eat breakfast? Just before going to work. That is depending. Now, some people, when they get off work at night, they go to bed right away and sleep. Well, then when they get up, they should eat. Once when they get up, shortly thereafter, and then probably once while on the job. But there are some who, when they come home at night, they stay awake for quite a while, and then they sleep before going to work. Okay, then when they wake up, pretty soon they're going to go to work, eat a big breakfast, and then in the middle of the night or as soon as they get off, they eat again. But then they don't eat again until they wake up. I keep putting you on two meals a day because it really works better for most people. Most people. Yes.
That's good. Breakfast at least 3 years already.
Mm-hmm.
I never feel hungry right before lunch.
You skip breakfast and you do not feel hungry for lunch? That's possible. You say you do. Tell me what you said again. You don't feel hungry until just before lunch?
Yeah.
Or you do not feel hungry even before lunch?
Even before lunch.
So you don't feel hungry?
Not feel hungry.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of work do you do?
What kind of desk?
That's amazing that you don't feel hungry. Because most people feel pretty... they feel hungry when they don't need to feel hungry. If people who are very active, like a mechanic or something, they're the ones that can go a long time without eating. Eating to a large degree is a matter of habit, timing, etc. You can get away with that, but a person should use their head more than their body. And we know from the research you're usually better off eating a breakfast, not too much if you're a brain worker, so you don't get too sleepy while working. But you kind of have to get used to it and what is the right amount for you. And then you go to work, and then maybe you won't be hungry for lunch. Maybe you can eat lunch a little later. Everybody has to work out their own schedule. But you're definitely better off. You'll actually perform better if you learn to eat a little breakfast. Doesn't have to be huge to start with, just like the water. Start small and get bigger and bigger. And so start small with breakfast until you can down a pretty sizable breakfast. The big one at night.
The big one is supper.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Never eat at night.
When do you eat, usually?
Lunch.
At lunch? That's your big meal? okay. Interestingly enough, but you're not overweight, but the body goes into a conservation mode on one meal a day. It's interesting how it senses it's not going to get more food. And so it will try to put more of those calories into reserve, into body fat, than the person who eats two meals a day. And they sometimes do not lose weight on one meal a day, much to their surprise, but they will lose weight on two meals a day if they're overweight. Then again, if you eat three meals a day, they'll start gaining weight. So you're at least eating at a good time, at lunch, so that you don't eat at night. That's not a bad idea. I still think it would probably be a little better, based on the average person, to eat a little bit breakfast time before you go to work, and then still make lunch your biggest meal. Yeah.
I know brown rice is better than white rice.
Yeah.
Indonesians like white rice.
Yes.
Basmati rice.
What kind of monkey?
Basmati.
I looked at it once. I can't remember, but I think it's a whole rice. It's not. Or is that the yellow rice?
There's a two kind of basmati. There's a brown and a white one.
Okay.
No,
that can't be true. Rice is starch. Rice is mostly starch, all of it.
Or less starch than the usual.
Well, that's not good either. I don't know. I'll have to say, first of all, I don't know. But always the rice with a little bit of the polish on it, the bit of the, not the rough hull on the outside, but the brown right underneath it, where that's where your minerals are and your vitamins are. You know, you take the rough hull off because you can't digest that at all. You can't really chew it. and then you have the brown, then you mill that further to get rice polish and rice bran. There's an outside hull, then beneath that there's the rice bran, and beneath that there's the rice polish. Rice bran contains most of the polish as well, and it's very nutritious. But you just as well, you're better off to eat the rice that way. I don't care what you're used to liking white rice. Americans like white bread too. We tell them, no, eat the whole brown bread, whole wheat bread, whole grain bread. And same is true with the rice. I've started a PowerPoint to try to show the difference in vitamins and minerals between brown rice and white rice, to show one of these times, but haven't quite got back to it and finished it at any rate. I hit you with the other one a few days ago, which I thought was more important at this point. So even though they like, it's better to retrain the likes. And believe me, you really can. I much, much prefer brown rice now that I've gotten used to it over white rice. And brown bread over white bread. And stuff like that there. Any other questions on breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the breakfast, about the, you stress about the protein so important.
Mm-hmm.
What about carbohydrates? Do we need any carbohydrates also in the morning, breakfast?
Oh, sure. Because that's your primary energy. If you are a desk worker, you use much more fat energy than you do carbohydrate energy. If you are an active person, you do use more carbohydrate energy than you use fat energy. You only use protein when you run out of carbohydrate and fat. Protein is for rebuilding the cells and building cells for a young person. So you must have some carbohydrate, but you can't hardly eat something without having carbohydrate in it. The fruits are primarily carbohydrate. The vegetables are primarily carbohydrate, unless you get into, probably they're still almost always, but some of your deep green leafies are a little different. For example, do you know what the protein content, well, if you talk about calories, what's the protein content of broccoli? Let's go back here a little bit. What's the protein content of potatoes? 5%. What's the protein content of wheat? Anywhere from 8 to 14% would be a high grade of wheat. Oats, 16% protein calories. Broccoli, 46%. Your greens are high in protein. Now, there's not a lot of protein because it's mostly water and a lot of fiber. But percent of calories, it's very high. And if you look at some things like kale, what do you suppose the fat percentage is of kale? 22 to 28% fat calories. In kale, greens.
What's kale?
Oh, it's a green leafy that's kind of strong tasting, you've got collards and chard and spinach. Well, kale is another kind of green. Remember, it takes protein to grow, right? And what do calves, little calves, eat to get to a full-grown cow in 2 years? Grass. High in protein. Don't want to eat too much grass for a human being, because we grow for 18 years. Cows grow for 2 to 3 years. Okay, yes.
About, I refer to Ellen Yee's, Ellen White's book, tells us that it's better if we have 1 or 2 days a week fasting.
Yes, at least 1 day a week, she suggests, for most people. Now, remember, most people overeat. Most people eat 3 meals a day. Most people are kind of plugged up somewhere. They would very much benefit by fasting 1 day a week. But if you're on a Daniel's fast, where you eat lightly twice a day and not a bunch of junk food, you're fasting every day. You don't need to fast 1 day a week. But even at that, if you attend too many parties on a Saturday night and Sunday night, you may still need to fast somewhere along the line just to give your body a rest. Yeah.
Diet,
yes.
Which she did not eat for 2 to 3
Mm-hmm.
What she did was drink water.
Yeah.
With lime, cajun pepper, I think.
Yeah.
And honey.
Mm-hmm.
And for 2-3 weeks, that's all she.
All she ate. Okay, some people can get away with that. And with her honey, she got a little bit of glucose going into the system for a little bit of energy. When I fast, I put a little grape juice in the bottom of a glass and fill the rest of it with hot water. And every 2 hours, I drink that, just to trickle in a little bit of energy. It keeps my hands from getting cold and my feet from getting cold. But it's in my opinion, it's a dangerous thing to fast beyond 3 days unless you're under medical supervision. Just to do it to yourself. Too many people die a sudden death while fasting. Nobody seems to understand why. Why do you think some people might die suddenly during a fast? Well, if you remember back, I think it was even in this class, we talked about your fats store poisons. And when your body starts using up your fat, those poisons are released from the fat and may hit the liver and kill you. You poison yourself. Other people, when they go into ketosis, it's fatal to some. Most people can go in and out of ketosis, and your brain adjusts and feeds on ketones instead of glucose. But that's why I simply say it's a dangerous thing to fast more than 3 days unless you're under medical supervision. So while you hear of some people getting away with it, it's not worth the risk. I would never recommend it. Not that fasting is not bad, it's just there are risks involved. I don't think I said that right. Not that fasting is bad, but you run certain risks. But then you run risks driving a car on the freeway. So, but some you have to do and some you don't have to do. All right, I think that's enough for that. How many groups do we have? We have at least two? All right. please go into those same groups. And you group leaders, I have your questions for you to ask the individuals just to put pressure on them. And I'll give you 10 minutes, 10 minutes, and then be back again.